Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all, to those here in the church and to those joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. You may be able to hear that there's still a bit of an issue with the sound system in the church, but we hope that the problems will be dealt with in the coming days. So please do bear with us. Just out of interest, if you're hearing okay, can you indicate? Not too bad. Is it a bit quiet or a bit loud? Is it okay? It's okay. Thank you very much. As I said to the church officer and the vestry, there's worse things happening in the world than issues with a sound system, isn't that right? Let us worship God. We sing hymn 147, verses 1 to 4 and 7. Verses 1 to 4 and 7 of hymn 147, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
The call to prayer comes from Psalm 65. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. Let us pray. Loving God, we gather in your presence with grateful hearts, joining our voices with all creation in giving you praise. From the smallest seed to the tallest tree, from the songs of birds to the fellowship of your people, the whole earth declares your glory and speaks of your goodness. Generous God, your word goes forth like rain upon thirsty ground, bringing life where there is barrenness, hope where there is despair, and joy where there has been sorrow. Every good and perfect gift comes from your hand, and we worship you today with gratitude and thanksgiving. Merciful Lord, you have given us Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, through whom all things were made and in whom all things hold together. We confess that our hearts are not always ready to receive your word. We become distracted by the concerns of daily life, discouraged by disappointment, and tempted by comforts that draw us away from you. We hear your call, yet fail to trust your promises. We know your ways, yet choose our own. Gracious God, merciful and just, forgive us, we pray. Break up the hard ground within us. Remove the thorns that choke our faith, and deepen our roots in your love. By your Spirit, make us fertile soil in which your word may take root, grow strong, and bear fruit. Eternal God, as your word is read and proclaimed today, prepare our hearts to receive it with faith. Open our ears to hear your truth, our minds to understand it, and our wills to obey it. And when we leave this place, may we go renewed in faith, steadfast in hope, and joyful in service to the glory of your holy name. These things we humbly ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, and together we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, just a couple of notices to bring to your attention. Tea, coffee, and biscuits will be served here in the church following the service today. Please do wait behind for a further time of fellowship if you can. It would be good to see you. And Logie Kirk is open to visitors on Sunday afternoons in July and August from 2 till 4. Tea, coffee, and home baking will be available. So if you're in the area or looking for something to do on a Sunday afternoon, please do go along to Logie Kirk and convey our good wishes to the people there. I've got something with me today, but I don't think you'll be able to see what it is. I've got some grass seeds. And grass seeds, of course, like many seeds, are so very, very small. And yet, they have the potential to make a real difference. I've been sowing grass seeds in the man's garden recently. The pigeons seem convinced I planted the seeds for them to eat. Thankfully, some seeds have survived, and grass is now growing where before there had been bare patches. Tiny seeds. Small things matter, and sometimes we forget that. Jesus loved using ordinary things to teach people about God. One day, he pointed to a tiny seed, and he said that God's kingdom begins like that. On another occasion, he told a story about a sower who went out to sow. Isn't it true that we can sometimes be tempted to think that God only works through big, dramatic events? But very often, God works through small things. A kind word, a smile, a thoughtful gesture. These may seem little things to you and to me, but God can do extraordinary things with them. As someone once said, we may never know how much difference one small act of kindness can make. And that is true. So perhaps each of us could try this week to plant, to sow one small seed of kindness. It might be a phone call. It might be a visit to someone who is lonely. It might be a word of encouragement. It might be a quiet prayer for someone going through a difficult and anxious time. I believe these words spoken many years ago by Mother Teresa proclaim a great truth. We cannot all do great things, but we can do small things with great love. In God's hands, small acts of love can grow and make a real difference. Amen. We sing the hymn 181, 181, for the beauty of the earth.
Thank you. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 55, reading verses 10 to 13, and can be found on page 616 of the Pew Bible. Isaiah 55, 10 to 13. As the rain and snow come down from the heavens and do not return there without watering the earth, making it produce grain to give seed for sowing and bread to eat, so it is with my word issuing from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing my purpose and succeeding in the task for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Before you, mountains and hills will break into cries of joy, and all the trees in the countryside will clap their hands. Pine trees will go in place of camel thorn, myrtles instead of briars. All this will be a memorial for the Lord, a sign that for all time will not be cut off. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 13, reading verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23, and can be found on page 11. Matthew 13, 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out and sat by the lakeside, where so many people gathered round him that he had to get into a boat. He sat there, and all the people stood on the shore. He told them many things in parables. He said, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell along the footpath, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil, and it sprouted quickly, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun rose, it was scorched, and as it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thistles, and the thistles grew up and choked it. And some of the seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. If you have ears, then hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word that tells of the kingdom but fails to understand it, the evil one comes and carries off what has been sown in his heart. That is the seed sown along the footpath. The seed sown on rocky ground stands for the person who hears the word and accepts it at once with joy. It strikes no root in him, and he has no staying power. When there is trouble or persecution on account of the word, he quickly loses faith. The seed sown among thistles represents the person who hears the word, but worldly cares and the false glamour of wealth choke it, and it proves barren. But the seed sown on good soil is the person who hears the word and understands it. He does bear fruit and yields 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold. Amen.
Thank you, Sally. We sing the hymn 598. 598. Come, Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire. I imagine that many of us have at some point planted something with great hope. Perhaps it was a packet of tomato seeds or daffodil bulbs or even vegetables. We carefully prepare the soil, we water faithfully, and then we wait. I believe that gardening, which is one of my hobbies, teaches us many virtues, but patience is perhaps the greatest of them. Growth cannot be hurried. That's why both Isaiah and Jesus use the language of sowing and growing to speak about God. Isaiah tells us that rain and snow come down from heaven, watering the earth, making it fruitful, and giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And then comes that wonderful, wonderful promise. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. Jesus too tells the story of a sower scattering seed. Some falls on the path, some on rocky ground, some among thorns, and some on good soil, where it bears an abundant harvest. These two passages belong together because both are ultimately about the same thing, and that is the power of God's word. And yet both passages also remind us that while God's word is always fruitful, our response to it is also important. Put it this way, the seed is good. The question is whether or not our hearts are ready to receive it. One of the striking features of Jesus' story is the generosity of the sower. The farmer seems almost reckless. He scatters seed absolutely everywhere, even where it appears unlikely to grow. Any experienced farmer would see this extravagant, even wasteful exercise as being something that is not advisable. But when it comes to God, it's altogether different, because God is astonishingly generous. He is a generous and a giving God. He does not reserve his good gifts for those who appear to be most promising. Instead, he scatters love and mercy widely. The gospel itself is offered to those who believe and those who doubt, to those who feel close to God and those who feel very far away. The sower never stops sowing. That surely is good news for every one of us, and it is also good news for the church. Sometimes, and this I think is particularly true here in Scotland, we fret about the future. We see in many churches empty pews. We are aware of changing communities. And we know only too well that we live in a society that often seems indifferent to the things of the faith. And yet Jesus reminds us, it is not our task to manufacture the harvest, but simply to sow the seed. The results, well, they belong to God. That's something for us to remember. I was reading recently, and I came across this quote, that God doesn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful. And there is a difference. We sow the seed. The result belongs to God. And Isaiah gives us the same confidence. Rain, he says, does not fall in vain, and neither does God's word. Even when we cannot see immediate results, God is often working quietly beneath the surface. I'm sure you'll agree with me when I say that we live in an impatient age. We like quick results. My computer was very slow the other day, and I could feel the blood pressure rising and rising and rising. I'm sure you know what it's like. We like things to happen like that. And yet often God works quietly, like rain soaking into dry ground. A retired minister told how a man once approached him after a service and thanked him for a sermon he had preached. And the minister smiled politely and asked when that had been. The man replied, 32 years ago. One sentence from that sermon had stayed with the man through a difficult period in his life, and eventually it helped him back to faith. The minister had long forgotten preaching that sermon. God had not. God's word often works in hidden ways. In his parable, Jesus goes on to explain the different soils. And perhaps it's tempting to think they describe four different types of people. But I wonder whether they describe four conditions that exist within all of us at different stages in our journey through life. Sometimes our hearts become like the path. Life has a way of hardening us. Disappointments can accumulate. Grief can change us. Relationships sometimes fail. Dreams fade. The burden of life can harden the heart without us even realizing it. But God does not respond to hardened hearts with anger or with wrath. Instead, he continues to send the gentle, refreshing rain. Rain softens even the hardest ground, and God's love and mercy can soften wounded hearts. And then there's the rocky ground. And Jesus speaks of those who receive the word with joy, but quickly fall away when difficulties arise. The problem is not enthusiasm or the lack of it, but depth. Discipleship, in my experience, is rarely dramatic. It's learning to pray even when prayer feels dry. It's continuing to worship even when life becomes complicated. It's choosing forgiveness when resentment would be easier. It's trusting God through ordinary Mondays, not only on mountaintop moments. A tree survives storms, not because of the beauty of its branches, but because of the depth of its roots. And the same, my dear friends, is true of faith. How deep are our roots grounded in God's word? The third soil may be the most familiar to modern ears. Jesus says the thorns represent the cares of the world and the lure of riches. Now notice that he warns not only about riches, but about worries. About worries. I believe that many people do not necessarily reject God, but their lives are simply crowded out by noise, anxiety, and busyness, that there's no time to think about God, no room left for him in people's lives. One spiritual writer described this present age as suffering from hurry sickness. I think that's true. Hurry sickness. When life is lived at relentless speed, there's little room for listening to the still, small voice of God. And so perhaps one of the greatest acts of Christian discipleship today is to make space. Space for silence. Space for prayer. Space for reading God's word. Space for worship. And space for noticing God's presence in the ordinary. Finally comes the good soil. What makes it good? What makes it different? Not perfection, not greater intelligence, not stronger morality, simply openness. The good soil receives the seed, allows it to take root, and perseveres until fruit appears. That's encouraging because good soil is not something that any of us are born with, but it is something that can be cultivated. As every gardener knows, preparation never really ends. Stones must continually be removed, weeds must be pulled, and the soil must be tended. The same is true spiritually. Every prayer softens the soil. Every act of repentance removes another stone. Every act of forgiveness clears another thorn. Every time we choose trust over fear, generosity over selfishness, and hope over despair, We are preparing the ground for God's word to flourish within us. Isaiah, that wonderful prophet, ends with one of Scripture's most beautiful visions. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. What a vision! It's a vision of creation rejoicing because God's purposes have been fulfilled. The barren landscape has become fruitful. My dear friends, it's a vision of renewal. And perhaps that's exactly what our world longs for and needs most at this time. There is so much in today's headlines that can leave us discouraged and wondering. The murder in our own home of Anne Widdecombe, wasn't that just awful? It doesn't bear thinking what she went through in these moments, in a place where she should have been safe. What a world we live in. And war. It's awful what's happening. The way in which some of our leaders, I just question their morality, do you know that? They certainly lack wisdom. What they do, and the people who suffer because of the decisions of leaders. And of course, there's poverty and environmental concerns. So much to concern us. And yet, we're people of hope. And I hope that in all the years that I've been here, I've been able to communicate that. People of hope. And that's what I say to you about the future. Now, don't listen to any nonsense about St. Ninian's Road closing. That's not happening. Don't listen to any nonsense about services only taking place one or two Sundays a month. That is nonsense. Anyone says that to you, send them to me. We deal in facts. We deal with the truth, nothing else. We are people of hope. And so to the situation in the world today, to the church, God's answer is surprisingly simple. A seed. Not a spectacle, not a display of power. A seed. Small, easily overlooked, yet filled with life. And that is often how God changes the world. One conversation, one act of kindness, one forgiven enemy, one child learning to play. Like a garden, we often discover growth only when we look back and we realize things are not quite where we left them. The kingdom of God grows quietly, often unnoticed, but never unsuccessfully. So perhaps Jesus leaves us with a gentle question this morning. Not how successful have you been, not how impressive is your faith, but simply this. How is the soil of your heart? Has it become hardened? Is it shallow from lack of roots? Is it crowded with worries and distractions? Or is it open, ready to receive again the life-giving word, that God continues to scatter so generously. Isaiah assures us that God's word never returns empty. Jesus assures us that wherever that word finds open hearts, there will be a harvest. There will be a harvest. Perhaps not immediately, perhaps not dramatically, but certainly. For the God who sends the rain is also the God who brings the harvest. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We sing the great hymn, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise. A great hymn, wonderful words, and a wonderful tune as well. 500, Lord of Creation. Let us pray. Generous God, with thankful hearts, we come before you, rejoicing in your goodness and grace. We praise you for your love that never fails, for your mercy that is new every morning, and for your faithfulness that endures from generation to generation. We thank you for the beauty and abundance of your creation, for the rain that waters the earth, for the seed that grows unseen, for harvests gathered in their season, and for the countless signs of your care and provision. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom your love has been revealed, and by whom we are called to walk in faith and obedience. Loving God, we thank you for your church throughout the world, and for this congregation gathered in Christ's name. We give thanks for all who have sown the seeds of faith in our lives, parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, teachers and ministers, friends and neighbours, and even strangers whose witness has helped us to know your love. We remember with gratitude those who have gone before us in faith and now rest from their labours. We thank you for the fruit borne through their lives and for the encouragement we continue to draw from their example. Almighty God, strengthen your church wherever it seeks to proclaim the good news of Christ. Grant faithfulness in witness, humility in service, and confidence in the power of the gospel, that many may hear your word and respond with joy. Gracious God, we pray for our troubled world, where hearts are hardened by fear, prejudice, or despair. Break up the ground and plant the seeds of your peace. Where lives are burdened by poverty, hunger, or injustice, nurture hope and renew courage. Where people suffer because of war, violence, or displacement, bring healing, reconciliation, and the possibility of a new beginning. Almighty God, we do pray for our leaders. Grant your wisdom to those entrusted with authority, courage to those working for justice, and compassion to all who have the power to help. Merciful God, we remember before you those whose lives are overshadowed by illness, loneliness, or grief. Draw near to those who feel forgotten, those facing difficult decisions, and those whose strength is failing. In your mercy, surround them with your love, sustain them by your Spirit, and bless all who care for them with patience, tenderness, and strength. Faithful God, as your word has been sown among us today, keep us from being hearers only. Give us grace to receive it with understanding, perseverance to nurture it through prayer, and the strength to live it out until our earthly pilgrimage is ended, and you welcome us into your eternal kingdom. These prayers we offer in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, I remind you of the invitation to remain behind if you can for tea, coffee, and a biscuit. It would be good to see you. The closing hymn, hymn 251, hymn 251, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you.
May God, who sends the rain to water the earth, refresh and strengthen your spirit. May Jesus Christ, the living Word, dwell richly in your hearts. And may the Holy Spirit give you grace to bear fruit that endures. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always.